Can we bow our heads, please? Father God, with your word, we come to life. And there has been many words tonight and many pieces to the puzzle. But by your Holy Spirit, put it together so that we can understand your purpose of revealing what you want done for this body of believers and for each individual family that's represented here tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want to take you on a small journey, and not a heavy-duty journey, but a nice little one. And I'm taking you to Galatians chapter 5. In verse 1, it says, and I'm using the Amplified Bible tonight because there was a press to adjust. My first instinct was the NIV, but the Lord said, no, go to the deeper one because it has a little extra oomph. It kicks you a little harder, in other words. Okay? In this freedom, Christ has made us free, completely liberated us. Stand fast then and do not be hampered and held ensnared and submit again to a yoke of slavery which you have once put off. Notice, it is I, Paul, who tell you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no profit to you. For if you distrust him, you can gain nothing from him. I once more protest and testify, every man who receives circumcision, that he is under obligation and bound to practice the whole of the law and its ordinances. And if you seek to be justified and declared righteous, and to be given a right standing with God through the law, you are brought to nothing, and so severed from Christ. You have fallen away from grace, when God's gracious favor and unmerited blessings. For we, not relying on the law, through the Holy Spirit, helped by faith, anticipate and wait for the blessing of and good, for which our righteousness and right standing with God are conformity to his will in purpose, through an action, causes us to hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. Now that's a big mouthful, but you got to remember, in St. Paul's day, there was a war going on in the church. The church was divided. And at that time, there was a section of the church that said you had to do everything Jewish. You had to do everything according to the Ten Commandments. You had to do everything according to the commandments of Moses. And then there was a new law of love that had come in. And he's telling the Galatians, look, if you submit to this law, you're going to be bound again to slavery. And you will not be able to stay in freedom. Now, St. Paul is trying to tell them, you've already gained your freedom. If you submit your body to be circumcised in order to satisfy the law of the church of that day. Today, there are many other churches that are requiring certain legal status to take precedence in their circle of operations. You have to do certain things certain ways in order to be accepted and received. Jesus is saying by the Holy Spirit, through Paul, look, verse 6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. Now, you were running a race nobly, verse 7. Who has interfered from heeding and following the truth? This persuasion is not from him who called you, who invited you to freedom in Christ. a little leaven leavens the whole lump, prevents the whole conception of faith, or misleads the whole church. In other words, if you start putting the law ahead of the law of love, in every circumstance, in every family member of your household, in every way that you conduct yourself in a body of believers, you're going to resubmit to slavery. Romans 6:16 says, to whom you submit to, you become a slave to. If you look at church regulations, and I'm not picking on any specific church now, so don't say, oh my God, he's picking on my denomination. That's not the point. The point is, Jesus came to set you free and to let you walk in that freedom. And it should not be that you will resubmit yourself to a new set of rules, whether it's circumcision or some other set of rules that bind you, and you are now unable to operate under the anointing of the Lord. You should be able to operate under the anointing of the Lord every step of every single day in union with the Holy Ghost, without any self-condemnation, in obedience to Christ. Now, my little buddy back there, if I have your permission to share when we first began and you had Holy Ghost Church in a little tiny garage. Do you remember that? Is that okay to share that?
Go ahead.
This young man was, because of a broken car, probably the best way to say it, okay? He ended up on a Sunday morning, and because of the church background he had, there was like a heaviness upon him. And he said to me, well, I couldn't make it to church Sunday because... And I looked at him and he says, I had to fix a car at my dad's house in a garage. I said, well, you had a Holy Ghost church with your dad. And he looked at me and he said, huh? And I said, yeah, you had church with your dad. And if that was God's plan, there's no condemnation. Why should you be feeling guilty? Well, because of some of the guilt that he had laid on him before, and probably people demanding of him, he had no freedom to operate under the anointing of God in that garage situation. My words to him was, be obedient wherever God has called you, and then you will see the hand of the Holy Ghost use you to free others. See, legalism and the commandments of God are preceded by the law of love. He should get that car back on the road because he needed to go to work the next day. He was able to, well, whatever. Wasn't totally that. You can fill in the blanks.
It was a two-week lesson.
It was a two-week, that's right. It was 2 weeks. I forgot about that. You have to go back for seconds.
Thirds.
Fourths.
Yes.
None of which you really enjoyed.
Thank God I got to the last carburetor I could find to put on that thing without it before my dad broke another one.
But it was a Holy Ghost experience.
Oh, that it was. And at the end of the whole scenario, it was not even the carburetor that was the problem. My dad, in all his health, crossed two of the ignition wires. The plug wires. So it was running rough because of the fact that I was out of sync.
But that was Holy Ghost Church, wasn't it?
That car is now in Holy Ghost heaven.
I believe what I'm trying to tell you is St. Paul was trying to tell his people of that day he wanted them free to obey the Holy Ghost every step of the way under the law of love. Not under the law of condemnation. Not under the law of restriction that would stop them from being obedient to what God had called them to do. And he was called to do some surgery there with, let's say, some painful spaces, but it was definitely God that was orchestrating that next level. Now I want you to skip forward a little bit to verse 13. For you, brethren, were indeed called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh and an opportunity or excuse for selfishness. But through love, you should serve one another. Verse 14 is even a little deeper. For the whole law concerning human relationships is complied with in the one precept. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Leviticus 19, verse 18 confirms it. Verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, be careful that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit, then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of human nature without God. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh. If you don't get verse 17, there's a problem. If the desires of the flesh are causing you to reject the Spirit within you, you'll be able to understand that every time you get an impulse from your flesh, your spirit is probably going to tell you, uh-uh. And when you get an impulse from your spirit, your flesh is going to say, uh-uh. Why? Because that war between the spirit within you, guided by the Holy Ghost, is going to be towards God consistently. Your flesh is going to be guided towards self-satisfaction. Now, you guys have never had a problem with that, but I have. Flesh always wants to satisfy me. It is focused on me. It's focused on all the things I want, the way I want it done, and yesterday should have been done then. But the Spirit of God says, be patient, wait, and I will guide you every step of the way. So be aware of what God is trying to show you through this particular chapter, because there's a lot more meat in here than I've given you right now. But I have a sense in my spirit. We need to beg to be obedient to the Spirit of God within us, and it's done by choice. It's a choice we make. And yes, there are times that you will have that war. And yes, sometimes confusion, because we talked about someone's having trouble with confusion. Confusion comes because there's no clarity. Okay? And when you cry out for the Lord to bring something clear, He will manifest it in clarity to you so that you won't miss the point. And He's going to be diligent enough to bring to you this same message over and over and over until you get it. And He's not going to give up on you until you get it right. So you might as well just give in and say, okay, Lord, I'm trying to get it. Make it clear. Bring more of it so that I won't miss the mark. And as the Holy Spirit takes you and comforts you and counsels you, you'll be able to walk in that harmony that He so desires for you. Now, verse 14, the law of love. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There was a comment made on a program I was watching this morning as I was having my coffee. And the comment was this. The law of love would never allow you, male or female, to harm anyone, whether of the opposite sex or of the same sex, in any way, fashion, or form. The law of love will let you see men and women in a loving, compassionate way under the vision of God, under the anointing of God, with compassion every step. Now, this particular gentleman that was sharing was on the 700 Club this morning. It should be on again at 7 o'clock, 11 o'clock tonight. This man has written, I think it's 40 books. I could quote to you. He's got a website. And he's an author and teacher. And I will give you his name because I have nothing to hide. At least not the moment, anyway. Why? Because this man was really giving a piece of truth about himself that was very, very sweet. And trying to find my notes from this morning here. Be patient with me. God's not finished with me yet. His name is Dr. Gary Smalley. Okay? He's written 40 books. And he pointed out that he was abused and was involved in lustful patterns at the age of 5. The tormentor used this open door to hurt him, and he's now in his 60-ish years or whatever, and his son, who is a psychologist, loves the Lord, and he said those two verses, Galatians 5, 13 and 14, gave him a way of saying to his own heart, who had been wounded, and he talked about his wounded heart from the time he was 5. And every time he saw a woman, he saw her as an object of lust. Never saw her as a sister in Christ. He always saw her from the wrong perspective. And that's what brought this particular chapter to my heart. And I said, Lord, you want me to talk about this tonight? And he says, yes, and they can refer to the 700 Club and check it out. And you can check www.garysmalley.com, and you can find out this last book that he wrote. And he shares about now he has freedom in his heart, because his heart is free, because he doesn't look at women with an object of lust and self-satisfaction. He sees women as a gift from God to be loved and appreciated rather than a tool to satisfy himself. And that began at 5 years old. Are you catching on to what I'm trying to show you? The law of love will give you freedom to love your brother, to love your sister, to love the child, to love the adult, to love the grandparent, to love the great-grandparent. Whatever they happen to be, whomever they happen to be, love them and release love to them, and God will set you free. Now, his comment was, as he closed the program with Pat Robertson, he said, 6 or 7 weeks of declaring those two verses, verses 14 and 15, over and over in his heart, he was at a meeting with one of his grandchildren. He saw a young lady in a bikini, and the thought that entered his head was totally foreign to him. Didn't God make a beautiful creation, and isn't she absolutely beautiful and to be loved as a woman of God? He says, I've never had that kind of thought pattern enter my mind, because it had never been placed in my mind. And it was overruling the old law of lust to satisfy himself. And I thought, that was an amen. Amen. That was a gift to the body of Christ. If you put the law of love above the law of lust, you'll satisfy the Spirit of God in you, rather than the spirit of flesh that wants to rule you. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I've had those problems, and I've had those thoughts in my head, and they're not of God. But putting the law of love above the law of self-satisfaction, you're going to win. That's all I got. Any additions? Any perception? Yes?
I think it doesn't necessarily have to pertain to the lust between people.
No, it's all different kinds of lust. Yeah. Could be lust for money, could be lust for food, anything.
Alcohol.
Right. Drugs. Whatever. You're right, because he did bring all those details out. But, you know, it was maybe a 10-minute segment. It was very good. So you can also look up CBN online and check it out, because I'm sure they would have it up. The program is available online, and it was a good piece of information. Now